Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
evening. I want to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate. Are you listening or can you hear me okay this evening? Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Reverend Manning. I'm going to put you on the line in just 1 second. We're reporting from Washington, D.C. on our Usurpathon. We have a lot to speak with you about, and we are extremely honored to have... Oh, boy. Hang on 1 second, please. There we go. There we go. Reverend Manning.
Yes. How are you, Dr. Kate?
I am. Thank you. I'm having a lot of technical difficulties this evening. Welcome. Welcome to Revolution Radio. We're delighted to hear from you this evening.
Well, it's an honor to be on your broadcast, and I'm interested to find out how things are going with the Usurpathon. I've been talking about it for the last 2 days, for four solid hours, and I pray that all has been well and that you're having a great success there. It's bringing awareness to the American people about Obama's ineligibility and why America needs to stand up and face this issue, or it's going to cause this nation to collapse. But it's good to be on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening. First of all, we'd like to share with you, Dr. Manning, we have a dinner this evening with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lee, who wanted to give you his love.
Well, you know, you're breaking up terribly. It's very difficult for me to, your words are being staccatoed, and I didn't even hear clearly what you just said. I think you were referencing Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, but I don't know exactly what said because of the break.
Okay. I'm going to call in. Hang on 1 second. Reverend Manning, are you there? Are you there, Reverend Manning?
Yes, I am. Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. That's much, much
okay.
better.
Okay. My apologies. We're having difficulties here. Let me tell you, we started on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We have... now I'm getting echoes myself.
And you're still breaking up a little bit as well, so you're
okay.
Clear for just
all
a
right.
moment. And then
hang on 1 second, please. I can't stand this.
Reverend Manning, are you there now?
Yes, I am, Dr. Kate.
Okay, I called in. Just one second, please. What? All right, thank you very much. Okay, my apologies. I'm having too many applications going on my computer here. Okay. What I wanted to tell you was that we've had a very small crowd, but our crowd wasn't really, the intent was not really a crowd.
I understand.
Yes. So I would have to say as an advanced effort that we have been looking around and trying to find out how people are speaking about this issue. And what we've found is very interesting. Most people are not aware of the eligibility issue at all, but we found different ways on how to speak about it. And I think part of this is, and I'll let Patty Dunn talk about this in a second, but really finding a way to talk with people about this issue rather than bringing in natural-born citizenship or bringing in these big legal arguments. It seems the avenue we've had the best success with is just talking with people about having full-blooded American parents and being a part of this program. So I had a very successful meeting with Congressman Issa's staff on this issue. Reverend Manning, I've begun to ask the question, can a dual citizen be president?
Right.
And that has now begun to perk some ears up and so forth, and sort of avoids people having to, you know, ridicule you for being on the birth certificate and so forth. So as an advanced crew, I think that we found quite a lot going on, Reverend, and I'm interested in how you feel about it and how perhaps you would ask us to continue on, and also how does this fit or help or work with your plans of coming on?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, finding ways to engage people is always a winner. You never lose when you get people to discuss your proposals. And they could obviously come in disagreement, but if they're willing to discuss, then they're open to possibly having their minds changed. And, of course, you're being victorious in what you're trying to accomplish. That's number one. The second item, of course, is the conditions that Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is presently facing because he raised the question in the most emphatic way. As I can best interpret or understand, he is the only American right now that's facing before the world grave circumstances for his raising the question about the eligibility of Obama serving as our president, and the trial is moving forward. And I think that also Americans are not aware of that. I mean, very few Americans are aware of the media has failed to report on it, which I think is a great travesty, that they would not at the very least make this matter an issue. Now, when Nidal Hassan did that grievous murder there in Fort Hood, that was well publicized. And the media covered it, of course, albeit very prejudicially. But I would think that we're in a crisis here. And that's why I felt that this usurpathon is so important. And I've been talking about it on our broadcast. I do a couple of broadcasts, 4 hours per day. And I've been just talking about it and making people aware of it, and making people aware of what you're doing. So congratulations as far as that is concerned. And any way you can get people to talk about it, then I've got to say congratulations.
Thank you, Reverend Manning. It's been a very interesting time, and we feel like our reward today was to sit down with Colonel Terry Lakin. One of the things that we found, and you are right, people do not know what is going on. When we were standing outside Walter Reed Memorial Hospital, we were talking with people coming in and out. A lot of people stopped, rolled down their windows, did not know. We got the sense that people did not know what was happening with Colonel Terry Lagan. So we were happy to be there. We had some very interesting officers join us in, well, not join us, but who were supervising, you know, our events and so forth. All of them were quite interested and came up and asked us what was about. So, again, I found it extraordinarily interesting and also, I don't know, daunting, if you will.
Yes.
You know, because there we are, three people, but we know we carry the intentions of millions. We know that people are very, very concerned about this, but, you know, reverend people are not standing up, and we need more to do so. I think our effort proves that if you take the time to be around, and perhaps a small group is better, and take the time to actually talk with people in a language that's not legalese or does not require them to do, you know, a whole bunch of thinking, but that it comes down to basically talking with people in a language they can understand about this. We feel we call this the Usurpathon because we don't intend to stop. We would love to see people come back here every single week, do the same thing we did.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some good times. Actually, we stopped in one of the politicians' bars and had a few loud conversations about dual citizenship. And it was quite interesting. So from that standpoint, I don't know what you would suggest and how next do you think we ought to move as patriots in this area?
Well, first of all, I think you're right with respect to the numbers. I know that when I did the Columbia trial, I didn't have the size crowd that I thought that perhaps should have came, though we had a decent number and we were able to accomplish all that we wanted to accomplish with the number of people that showed up. But the very fact that you are there and that you are planting seeds, people are paying attention, and all you need is for one or two people to hear the argument, to understand your commitment, and to have people become aware of something that obviously the media is doing everything it possibly can to stop this matter from being public knowledge. So in that regard, you just have to keep doing what you're doing. You should not stop. It should never give up, should not quit. We are fighting a battle of immense evil, Dr. Kate. You need to be very much aware of that. There is immense evil behind this process that is looking to steal this nation, looking to rob its inheritance, and just strip the good of this nation and all that has been built over the 240 years of it as standing as a nation, and to leave it there. And it takes Gideon-type crowds such as what I've done and what you're presently doing, and we will be able to stop this. I can tell you this. I can tell you this, that those people in the White House and in the media and every place else would to God that you were not out there, because you may touch someone's heart that will turn the nation around. So I would say just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, we plan to leave all of our signs here for the 9/12 marchers who are coming. And, you know, to stand in front of the White House with a sign that says illegal,
right,
usurper,
right,
you know, and
yes,
a few, you know, single-fingered salutes, excuse me, Reverend Manning, but I'm tired of getting the finger from this guy. But anyway, that is very important. You know, now what we found was quite interesting was the foreign tourists were more interested in what we had on our banners than the Americans were.
Yes,
and we had a whole group of Japanese tourists who came up to us today at the where we're at the Capitol, and took all kinds of pictures, and they asked what was going on, and we were telling them, and they ended up walking away, not in a bad way, but all conversing with each other. because we told them this is a very serious situation for our country. Yeah, and they were not too happy about that. They were chagrined about it and also seemingly more disturbed than the usual people who walked by and said, get over it, get over it. That was really something. So,
well, you know, Dr. Kate, if when you hear get over it, you have to understand that that is a confession that a fraud has taken place, and we have Americans asking you to accept it. And that is the foundation of those who oppose or who support. They know that is wrong, but they're saying just let it be. The other item is that there has not been any credible arguments offered, and I'm sure there were none offered to you today, except for maybe to give you the single finger salute or to call you a racist or to call you a name, but not to want to engage in such a way to find out, you know, is there something sinister going on? Is there something that could possibly destroy my future, destroy the children of my future, and destroy the heritage of this nation? They didn't ask that question, and they should have. They absolutely should have. But we have a major problem. But obviously, if someone told you to get over it, praise God, you got under their skin. If someone gave you a single finger salute, praise God, they did not remain neutral. You got under their skin. They heard the message loud and clear, and they gave you their response. So I'm glad to hear that that happened to you, quite frankly. I mean, I'm not wishing ill upon you, but I'm delighted to know that they did that. They said those things.
Yes, and it was a surprise. It was an absolute surprise, I think, to so many people. And one guy refused to concede the point, but he kept saying, we'll be okay, we'll be okay, we'll be okay. And it was really quite amazing. I have to tell you that I am just stunned by how many do not know, but I really would like to ask my colleague to come on and talk about, if she's ready, to come and talk about some of the conversations with police officers. Honestly, I have to say, and I have a note in the chat room, it's kind of a non sequitur, Reverend, my apologies. But Larry Sinclair has posted some things that looks like he might be doing something irreversible. Many have called, and he won't pick up a return call, so we're asking for you to check on if you could or pray for Larry Sinclair.
Yeah, I will. I had my wife, Elizabeth, speak with him about 2 weeks ago, and he wasn't in the best spirits then. I will get on the phone and find out as soon as I possibly can what's going on with him. I think he'll talk to me. We've had a good relationship over the last couple of years. I will certainly try to find out what's happening with him.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, I'd like to bring on Patty Dunn, our papoose, who's been here as well. You know, I'm here with three people. We're the Stop Them Cold group, the Usurpathon. And I'd like her, if she would, talk for just a few minutes about her interactions with some of the police and also other people that she talked with. Like I said, part of our experience as an advanced front was to find out how to talk about this issue. And me, I want to talk about natural-born citizenship and the Constitution and dual citizenship. And when I get glazed eyes, I wonder why. So let me ask Patty Dunn to come on. I think you know her. We've communicated with her, and we're just going to hand her my phone.
Yeah.
Okay, here she is.
Good evening, Pastor Manning.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's Patty Dunn here. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your response to my initial request to bless us and this commissioning and to give us the goodwill that you did to make this trip here and arrive safely and meet all of our commitments and all the promises that we've promised thus far. And I just want to say thank you so much for your support.
I thank you for the work that you're doing, and I would want to do more as I possibly can, and certainly will.
Oh, and I realize that too. We are well aware that you are a pastor of a congregation and that you're a clergy. You have people at your door, and really do appreciate that you would welcome us in. I hail from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm in your backyard.
Yes,
and,
that's true.
I will be there for you.
Thank you so very much.
Call me. And thank you and your darling wife. I have to thank Dr. Kate, too, for inviting me to speak. It's been a comedy of errors all night trying to get this together for the first time ever. We can't get online. The connections are bad. My computer is overheating. It keeps shutting down. So I don't even know if I'm able to convey my message to the people that were so nice to log into Dr. Kate's Revolution Radio Show tonight. And I hope that I can convey a message to those. And if I can't, then I'll just let the spirit go. But what I did want to tell you is I was able to engage with many, many people this weekend during this whole week, starting with the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial Wall, and then yesterday at Walter Reed Medical Center. And then today we went to all of the federal buildings, including the White House. And everywhere I went, it seemed that I met officers of the law, police officers, that would come to me and say, so what are you really about? What is this about? And you could tell that they were asking on the side that, you know, that they were taking a personal moment from their job.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me. And they're really asking, you know, are you protesting? And I said, we're not protesting anything. We're patriots. And we've come forward to come to Washington, D.C. to pay homage to our veterans and to our fallen soldiers and our wounded warriors and our patriots that are actively defending our country against domestic enemies. And I said, we're not protesting. We're demonstrating. And, well, what are you about? What are you about? I'm like, well, this is my feeling. You know, I'm just coming to you from one person to another to say, I think it needs to be declared today, going forward, that we need to rope it in and ask, who is eligible to become the president and the vice president of the United States of America? And insofar as I'm concerned, I was in fifth grade, and I passed that exam, and you had to have yes, I did, and I did very well in civics. And honestly, and I said, and then the day I took that exam, I was told that you had to have two American parents, not one, but you needed to have two. And I said, and insofar as this Obama person is, I don't even care about him. I said, the crux of the matter with me lies in the fact that we are setting precedent if we let this stand.
That's right.
If we let this man get by, we
That's
are
right.
writing in stone that anybody that claims that they have a mama in New York or a mama in Los Angeles can go and say, I'm 35, I've been here for 14 years, and I'm eligible. And I said, and be that as it may, and be the president and the executive and the big mahop if you want, but you will not ever lead our armed forces. That is my problem. I'm getting emotional because we're setting precedent that the commander-in-chief that is able to command our armed forces can have allegiances all over the world if he wants or she wants. I'm sorry, but I don't want the Saudi king's prince coming over here and saying, my mother's from New York City.
Right.
And I'm 35 years old. I've lived in this country for 14 years, and precedent has been set. And you know what, Pastor Manning? The police officers, and I can tell you there was a good half a dozen of them, were listening to me, and I wasn't excited as I am right now telling you. I'm like, all I'm saying is we need to stop and think, who do we want leading our troops? Don't we really and truly want somebody that has been born into this country by two American parents? And, you know, I was getting nods, and I got it, and there he goes, and, you know, people, like, pointing, like, that's right, you know, and, like, going, yeah, two American parents. I said, I don't care where that guy was born. I really do, though, to tell you the truth. I do care. I care desperately. I want to know.
Yeah,
I do too. And
I
am proud to be a birther. Yes, I'm a constitutionalist.
I am too. I wear it very proudly. Yes,
and I actually did glue my birth certificate to my head today in front of the White House, as silly as that may sound. But, yes, I'm like, if this person really, really gave or cared or whatever about our country, he would say, you're a fool, look at this. But the man has so much to hide, and that's all the deceit and the dishonesty. We could go on about that forever and ever. But where I just want to come full circle with you, Pastor Manning, is to let you know that the best engagements that I had and where I could actually look people in their eyes and just say these words, you know, anyone who is to be eligible for either the vice presidency or the presidency must have two American parents, and that's that. And you know, and right now with this person in that White House, and of course I'm pointing right at the White House at this one juncture, I'm like, we're setting precedent, and we cannot let this stand. And I want to know something else. How does Chief Justice John Roberts sleep at night? You know, I mean, really. And we had this wonderful moment in time where we spent, we broke bread, drank some water, and had a little respite with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Reagan tonight. What a gentle soul. What a wonderful man. And he did ask me to send and convey his love for you tonight. And I said, well, I would be sure to do that if we made contact.
Well, I'm delighted. I certainly received that. But, you know, you're absolutely right. Precedents, if we allow this to stand, at that point, America will not have the kind of heritage and value and the cherished leaders that we've had to date. At that point, anyone can come in and say that my mother or my father was born in Pennsylvania, and I've been here for 14 years, and I now want to be the president, though my father was born in some other nation. And at that point, it then becomes a hodgepodge of no clear identity of who we are as a people anymore. But I think, you know, there's another issue here as well that's troubling me. Mm-hmm. Not only is that if we let this precedent stand, first of all, we're not going to let it stand. I know we look like we're outnumbered right now, mm-hmm. but we're not going to let it stand. It will not stand. Trust me. Trust me.
I do trust
it
you.
Will
I
not
do.
Stand.
I do.
It
cannot.
It will
it'll
not.
Be the end of, it'll be the no. end of our republic.
Justice is on our side. Righteousness is on our side. Mm-hmm. And it will not stand. I can tell you that. But
I believe it.
The other matter is that the Constitution, that is the foundation mm-hmm. that has given birth to this awesome nation called America. Mm-hmm. And without that Constitution as a guiding instructive for all of us, this nation would not be. And we are allowing the most critical part of our blessings to be trampled on, to be used as so much as toilet paper now, because it doesn't have any meaning. If we don't uphold that Constitution, if Chief Justice John Roberts knows that there is a major question, and he doesn't have to know conclusively, but that's his job, to answer questions to seek the answers where the answers are hiding in the dark, and yet it affects the American people and the American future. The Supreme Court ought to be involved in making sure that we are given the full and right answer, and the Constitution is upheld. And if a person has dual citizenship and is not a natural born citizen, then the Constitution and the courts ought to quickly say, you cannot lead this nation, you cannot command our troops into battle, you cannot be the officer of the Treasury, the FBI, and all of this, the treasure of this nation. But they won't do it. They are not doing it because there's been such a fraud perpetrated. But I can tell you that this matter will not stand. It will not stand. It will not stand. It has got to come down. It has got to fall. It will fall. And I know a lot of people who's got power and influence, or at least when we think that they have it, they are not giving this Bertha matter the attention. They've moved on, or they have been complicit in the matter. That is to say that they have now put their hands in saying that it isn't necessary for the Constitution to be the guiding light for who becomes our president and who becomes the leader of our nation. But I can tell you that it will crumble. I can't tell you exactly how many days before it shall crumble, but it will crumble to the ground, and it shall be turned into powder, and we shall cast it into the sea, and we shall restore our nation, and we're going to be stronger and greater. But I think that Americans need to wake up. Don't take the heritage of this nation for granted, and we need to keep fighting, and you keep fighting. I can tell you this.
I will
keep fighting. There ain't no way you can stop me from fighting.
Let me just tell you, you lift me up. I've been listening to you, basically, and you give me a good chuckle, too. Believe it or not, I do have a sense of humor, and I love to have a good laugh. And I have been listening to you since May of 2008, and then into June, and then I think when I really caught on was at Saddlebrook, when the usurper had that moment in time where he was debating, quote unquote, with that purposeful, what's his name, Rick somebody.
Right.
Yeah. And it's above my pay grade and all that crap.
Right.
Anyway, that is when I have become a member of your congregation. You don't see me, but I'm with you. I am with you, and I follow, and I could not get off from work for the May 12th and the 19th event, but I really wanted to be there. I wanted to commit to that. I'm so sorry I wasn't there.
Well, I thank you for
but
that.
I was in other ways. I was making sure I was sharing the video with my brothers and interested persons. I wanted to bring one more point up while I have the floor, so to speak. And Mr. Manning, this man approached me today, and he had dreadlocks, and they were white as snow, and he was barely dressed. He had a pair of cut-off jeans and barefoot, and he had a walking stick. And he approached me at the White House, and he was pointing at everything and like, what is this all about? And I explained to him again. I said, you know, I just want to put it in a nutshell. I don't want to talk, you know, any kind of babble talk that all new speak, because they keep, you know, changing the rules, this Obama and all his czars. They change everything. And I said, and I'm worried about the future of our country insofar as if we let this precedent stand, et cetera. And I thought the man was going to come back at me and, like, you know, tell me I'm a racist as usual, you know, whatever. But he didn't. He lit up. His name is Elijah, and he gave me his business card, and he has a website. He said he wants me to do him a favor, and he wants me to take a good look at the 12th Amendment. And he went on and on and on about how corrupt the government is, and the legislator, the houses, and everything, insofar as the 12th Amendment, and I can't confirm this because I did not go there yet, but he suggests that in this 12th Amendment, it is the president's obligation to invalidate anything that is outside of the Constitution. And he says the whole place needs to be cleaned out because by right, by constitutional rights, there's no such thing as a party. And anyone who's called in as the Senate or called into the Congress should absolutely, positively be from their state and the specific district that they're representing. And he said, we have all these people all over the place that just, you know, over the years came in. And he said that it's the president's duty and job to have Biden resign and all those around, and that it's his job to actually, you know, step down his own, I guess Brian Cherry would say, himself, and then appoint somebody while there's another election to get, that if this guy had any integrity, he would, you know, resign himself and appoint somebody that, you know, can, you know, do the job and fulfill the obligation of making sure that anything that is not outside the realm of the Constitution, that it should be deemed invalid. And this guy was on the ball. I mean, on the ball. And, of course, we had all these difficulties tonight, so I couldn't go do my research. But I did want to plant that seed that we need to be looking at the 12th Amendment because I do trust
I'm going to take
person.
A fresh look at that amendment.
Yeah,
and
with
it.
Fresh eyes.
Yeah, I'm certainly
but the man
going to do
is
that
actually in, right.
In light of
he
what
said
you said.
Yeah, he said the whole darn place is all, needs to, you know, just we need to start over, he said, because we've been usurped and there's been a queue for years because people that are sitting in office, like I said, for instance, like my ex-beloved Hillary, when she went and bought a house in New York so that she could qualify to be the senator of New York, and he said, bingo. I said, you know, I always wondered about that. I have a tendency to forgive the Clintons, but those days are long behind me. I said, you know, it really does bug me that, you know, that she really has that house for her own interest and Bill's own interest, but not really for the people of New York.
No,
and,
it was just an open Senate seat.
Using them.
That was all it was.
And he said that's exactly his point, what he's telling me. And he said, and if this President Obama had any honor and integrity about him, like an iota in his body, he would step down because of all the transgressions against the Constitution when it is his job to invalidate anything that's outside. And I wanted to ask you one more thing, Pastor Manning. Could you please let me know, are you going to be presiding at ATLA this Sunday at 11 a.m.?
Well,
Saturday, 9/11.
We worship on Saturday, as you know.
Right, you keep the Sabbath. I know that.
Yeah,
and
we
do.
Yeah, and
I was just wondering if
you
were going to be presiding.
I will. I certainly will.
Oh, wonderful. All right, then I will definitely see you, and I will be there in person to receive your blessing.
Oh, wait.
And then we're going to march down to the church on Broadway. And
right. Right.
Salute Pam Geller and Robert Spencer, and I'm gonna put the cross of ashes on my head since they're just saying don't bring any signs, bring your flag, and I figure, you know what, in light of the Ground Zero ashes, I'm gonna put the sign across on my head and I'll walk.
Good for you.
So I wanna thank you so much for everything that you do. I wanted to send out it's with such solemnity and so deeply, I don't even know where to find the words to thank Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin for standing up, risking everything, just in case if there's an iota that he needs to defend us, his fellow Americans, against domestic enemies. And I will follow him no matter where. I will pray to God that things will work out for him. And if they don't, I commit to take care of his family in every way I can, whether it's just a birthday card, a Christmas present,
whatever I can ever do.
If things don't go, I need people to hear me say, and there's another thing too, there's 10 soldiers sitting in Leavenworth because of the rules of engagement, and I want people to think about those people too. These are active duty members of our armed forces, and we have a lot of the retired people coming out, Valeli, and on top, you know, everyone's out there that's retired, and I appreciate it, and I love you, and I thank you all for your past services to our country and everything you ever did, but now is the time for all good people to come and stand behind our troops and those that are being put in jail. These are political prisoners, and they are being punished by their own government, and shame on Hussein Obama. And you know what? If DOJ's listening, you scare me.
I can tell you this.
I'm going to send my love.
That is. I thank you for saying that to the American people and addressing them on that regard. And I pray they'll have the courage to continue to stand up and support our troops. And to continue to support this nation. But I commit this now, that with this railroad court-martial that they're trying to do to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, if they find him guilty without allowing him the constitutional due process of discovery of information and the opportunity to face his accuser, there will be hell to pay here in America. I can promise you that. If they convict that man,
okay,
and he has asked for the opportunity to see Obama's records, and the judge has denied it. The judge has even told him so much as that he needs to get a new defense. This nation will boil like a cauldron if they convict that man, to lay a finger upon him and railroad him. That it will not stand. I can tell you that. I just want to say
Thank
that.
You.
I want to say it. And anybody listening needs to know. They need to know.
That will be a shot. If that should happen, if that day or to occur, and I can't even begin to fathom it, Pastor Manning, but I will take that as a shot to the American people right from the Oval Office.
Yes.
Because that is the Commander-in-Chief, and he can halt that right now. You know what, Barkey? Prove I'm a fool. Prove it. Show me I'm a fool, Mr. President. But I want to say thank you. I want to say God love you, God keep you, God take care of you. I want to say hello out there to all of Dr. Kate's listeners. And, you know, it's Snotty Patty Dunn, you know what, but I come from the heart. I will see you on Saturday and your lovely wife. And I just wanted to say I love you very, very much.
And I love you as well, and thank you very much for your very kind words. Thank you so very much.
And I'm going to give Dr. Kate back the floor. Love you. Good night.
God bless you, and good night. I love you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Patty, and thank you, Reverend Manning. I wanted to just raise two issues with you, and I really appreciate your time this evening. And, of course, if you have to go, you are welcome to go anytime. And it's about Colonel Lakin's case. There are two aspects of this that are extraordinarily, well, there are many aspects that are disturbing, but one is the presumption that that essentially the decision was made by the Pentagon and not by the Commander-in-Chief. What this suggests to me is that Obama is doing everything he can to break the chain of command in the military, such that this Judge Lind could actually say, you know what, this is above my pay grade. I'm not going to deal with this. And, you know, if the military basically, I think that they are saying that Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's orders came from the Pentagon, not from the president. Again, the chain of command has been broken, but there is every evidence that every order came down from the president. But as you... Excuse me, I don't call him the president, from Mr. Obama. But if you look at, I don't know if you've seen or are aware of his new executive order on court-martials.
No, I'm not. But I can tell you this. He can try to escape responsibility, and therefore Judge Lynn could try to escape the true discovery of Obama's heritage in his birthplace by saying that the orders came from the Pentagon. But the argument would not hold water. It just will not, because ultimately the Commander-in-Chief is the Commander-in-Chief. Unless there's been a constitutional law legislated by the Congress that the Commander-in-Chief is no longer the Commander-in-Chief, and the Pentagon, the buck stops at the Pentagon, then, you know, it's just a moot argument. So they can try that if they want, but I don't think it'll fly. I don't think it will. That's for us.
That's what I'm hoping. One of the things that I would like to ask readers and listeners to do out there is this. One of the fundamental premises of our justice system is the accused has a right to defend himself. And
face
their accuser and defend himself. And, of course, Judge Lynn basically saying, you know, get another defense is not only reversible error, but, you know, the possibility that the Army is trying to do a mistrial in this case just so they don't have to deal with it. But I think that everybody ought to write to their representatives, because this is what they're supposed to do to you, supposed to do for you, is explain how a lieutenant colonel in the Army could be denied a fair trial and denied the evidence. Explain why that has happened. Because from our connections at Walter Reed, from our discussions, from what we know, because we carried Colonel Lakin's signs, you know, everywhere, thanks signs everywhere. He was one of the themes of our whole event here. But people do not know what's going on, and I think this is one thing that would help Mr. Lakin incredibly, is to start asking how can this be that an officer is denied
an officer has put his life on the line for our country, is denied a fair hearing. So that is one thing that I'd really like to ask out there. Now, Reverend Manning, I want to raise this other issue that I'm just beginning to become aware of, and that is those rules of engagement that we keep talking about, where American soldiers cannot defend themselves unless they are shot at. And it occurred to me that this is another thing that is being done to insulate or isolate Obama from any accusations that as a usurper, he sent our soldiers into war to commit war crimes. What do you think about that? Do you think that's happening?
Well, I was concerned with General Stanley McChrystal's way of getting out from underneath the command of Obama by allowing his staff to go off the deep end in terms of on record with a in-bed reporter. And obviously this news was going to break and get back to Obama and cause him to be relieved of his command. He knew exactly what he was doing. I just thought it would have been a more appropriate thing for the general to have actually made an issue of the fact that the rules of engagement were indeed causing the loss of life, and it had our soldiers fighting with both hands behind their back and had literally had to try to shoot their rifles and pull the trigger with their teeth, because essentially what those rules outlined was that you could not fire unless you were clear about where you were firing and had seen the sniper or the person, which is an impossibility in war. It's an impossibility when someone in guerrillas, especially in guerrilla-type warfare, or in Afghanistan, where those mountain covers, and it's just impossible. You just know a bullet is being shot at, been fired at you from behind a rock, but you cannot return fire. That's putting you on in a firing squad before the Afghan for the Taliban soldiers. So I think that it could be, as you stated earlier, with respect to what Obama is manipulating and trying to do. There is so much going on, but why is it that why didn't General Stanley McChrystal do what Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is doing? If he had done that, it would have blown this thing wide open. But he didn't. He wanted to get out from underneath command. He did not want to be in the battle theater under Obama's command. So he pulled this way of doing it. But why didn't he do what Lieutenant Colonel Lakin is doing and saying, "I will not serve under this man," and make it a public issue? He didn't do it. So what is beyond that is anybody's guess. I don't have any further information about what Obama's plans are, what the schemes are. In terms of absolving himself of responsibility. But it is a grievous thing that's happening to our nation.
It really is, and this is another example of precedent that's being set, where the commander-in-chief can so screw up military and break its chain of command that it is impossible for that military to turn around and help our people and help us right now. I have to say that we are calling out to the military, and when you sit across the table from Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, it's hard to imagine that one could be dragged down by anything, if you know what I'm saying, because
yeah.
That man is standing. If I'm a little uncomfortable, well, you know what? This man is putting his life on the line for us. And it cannot stop. This is our idea of the usurpathon. It cannot stop. We cannot stop this until this issue is brought to the forefront and we address this. In my conversation with ISIS staff, they were quite interested in this issue of dual citizenship, you know, claiming that no one had raised that issue before. Well, frankly, Reverend Manning, I want to say, duh. Were you out in recess, too, during that civics lesson? Once I got over that, the person who I met with said, well, you know, we're hoping the elections go well in November, and then after November, we can go ahead and deal with this. And I had to stop her right there and said, stop. I did not drive 2,000 miles over here to have you tell me you're going to wait till January. This is a nonpartisan issue. But this is what I said to her. I said, look, I know there must be an embarrassment factor here. We all should have known this, right? And you could tell. They all know that. And I find it unacceptable for congressmen to be embarrassed about this situation. And I think that we must pressure in every way we possibly can. But this is the insidious work that's going on. It's treason every single day. And, you know, tomorrow we are going to the Justice Department, you know, with a lot of fines and so forth. Unfortunately, I had a dream last night that I made a list of domestic enemies, you know, number one, two, and three, and Obama was number one and two, and Holder was number three, I think. And, you know, and then in my dream, before I woke up, I was promptly arrested and, you know, never made it back home. But
that's not going to happen to you tomorrow. They're not going to
happen. Thank you. Well, you know, there are only three of us around here. So, and all you listeners out there that think numbers are important, this was an advanced scouting trip. And I think we can find ways to talk with people that are way better. But this is now entering the area where this must stop. It cannot continue. We have one more year of Obama. And that means we've got one more year of precedent being set where anybody could come in and be president of the United States.
Well, I spoke to Patty earlier, and I'm sure you were listening, God will find a way. Almighty God will find a way. And the way has already been prescribed. We just have to remain faithful. But this illegal presidency will not stand. This destruction of the trampling of the Constitution that has been perpetrated, and this runaway corruption, and this complicity of the courts, the Congress, and everybody else who stood with this. All of them are going to have to answer to the Constitution. All of them are going to have to answer to the soldiers that have shed their blood on battlefields across this planet to defend this nation and its Constitution. It will not stand. There's just too much justice and truth that is against them for their puny powers to prevail. Right now, they have the upper hand. And they are playing it to the max. But I can tell you, truth and justice and the blood that has been shed across the years and the hard work and prayers for this nation are against Obama and all of his crowd. And I can tell you this, Dr. Kate, I can't tell you when, but it won't be long before all of this is exposed and this nation will go through what it has to go through. And it will be returned back to constitutional truth. I also need to say I need to go. I've been here for an hour tonight, and I've got several interviews tomorrow. I've got a four-hour radio show I'm going to do myself. I will be talking about what's happening with you in Washington tomorrow. I've got the schedule of events of where you're going to be. I know you're going to be at the Justice Department. I think you're also going back to the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court later on tomorrow evening.
Yes.
I will be talking about that tomorrow for 4 hours. But if you don't mind, I'd like to take my leave tonight, and of course we'll be able to talk another time. I've sent you an email regarding the trial transcript, and we'll talk about that at some other time, not tonight. But we'll be in touch, and I'll look to see Patty on Saturday. So thank you all for having me.
Thank you very much, Reverend, and I hope to see you Saturday as well to stand in your light and to stand in his light. And thank you very much for your words of support and your help and your prayers. Thank you so much and for all of your work.
God bless you. God bless you. And
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you, Reverend Manning. That was just wonderful. He is going to call Larry. He already has already, folks, so he's going to take care of it. I want to update you on a couple of other things. This issue with Lieutenant Colonel Lakin is very, very serious. This is, if he goes down, yes, this will be the shot heard around the world. But also, if he possibly goes down at all, it is because people don't know what is happening. And so it is extremely important for people to start talking about this. How can a lieutenant colonel be denied the information he needs? This is very fundamental to our system. So that's one thing I'd like to just pass on. The other thing I really want to talk about tonight is that, you know, this whole issue of natural-born citizenship, dual citizenship, the whole issue is one that is complex. We all would like everybody to go with our view of what natural-born citizenship is and so forth. And in this situation, I think I will draw upon a statement that I've used quite a lot. You know, as we are being assaulted every day on a thousand fronts, we must return the fire on a thousand fronts. And not everybody can go with a concept of natural-born citizenship like we have all evolved and so forth. There are different pieces of this puzzle. Look at what Reverend Manning has done. He's gone and looked at the CIA, the Columbia connection. You know, yes, he's talked about the birth certificate and so forth, but look at where he's going. It's not that definition of natural-born citizen with the two parents and so forth and so on. He is tracking and has tracked what has happened with this issue. So there is that. Now, there is Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's work that he's doing. Think about the situation. He's an officer who was deployed to Afghanistan. He questioned the orders because of the authenticity of the orders and the legality of them. What is going to solve that for him in a situation where he has to make a decision to be deployed? It is not a large concept of natural-born citizen. It's not. Why put a lieutenant colonel in the middle of that battle? Yes, do we believe a natural-born citizen is two parents, a U.S. citizen, and born in the U.S.? Of course. What is needed for certain defenses of a military officer here? As friends say, it's Exhibit A, the documents, the records, the birth certificate, whatever that is. And when you sit down with Lieutenant Colonel Lake, you do not get the impression that he's a man who takes risks. I don't. He seems like a very careful, thoughtful person. You know, if you're going to invite your court-martial, you better be sure about what you've got or what you think you don't have. And to deny him the ability to defend himself is so fundamentally against our justice system that we have to deal with this. If we let this stand, then that's going to happen to you too. You won't be able to defend yourself either. And believe me, it comes down. It's not just the military officers that are getting this. So what I'm saying is that we've got to not exactly live and let live, but we all got to remember that each one of us has a part of that thousand, that death by a thousand cuts. We cannot all be perfect and we cannot all fit into one mold. But I am convinced that the paperwork is the essential piece that is necessary. So, you know, some of the people that we heard today were just ridiculous about this. And those people are never going to be changed. So we really need to find those who are willing to listen to these issues and so forth. But I wanted to throw that out there. As you all know, I am very much in support of Commander Kirshner's case, Mario Puzo's arguments and so forth, and I believe that these are the things that I have learned as well as I've grown up. And yet, that is a whole different case. Are you scared if this goes to the Supreme Court? I am. What if they throw it out? What if they stop this? What if they say, born in the U.S.? You know, I put on my post my impression of the Supreme Court as I was there yesterday, which is basically I ended the post by saying, listen, it looks like the Wizard of Oz to me, because those supposedly high-robed officials, you know, they're looking across the street to blame somebody else or to have somebody else do their job. So no one is doing their job, and that means we, the people, have to. But I think it's time now to really live and let people accept where they're going. So anyway, I just wanted to raise those issues and just let me ask anyone out there if there's anyone who has a question or wants to add anything to this discussion here. Do we have a question out there? Yeah, Gary Creep maybe has not been that successful. But like I say, Terry, there are, it is a death of a thousand cuts. We all have our various pieces of that work. And not everyone can get caught in between legal battle here on information. And that's a switch for me because I believe that everybody had to go with the same view. So, you know, what I'm going to do right now is just give everyone just a little bit of break. We've got about 20 minutes. I'm going to play a song that I want you to hear because it got us to Washington, D.C. because of the all soldiers who can't get older. They're looking after you. So I'll be back in 3 minutes. That was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, as usual, coming up with a very relevant song. We're going to take the next few minutes just to really just recap everything that has happened here. We've been an advanced force on this issue here to Washington. It is time now for us to, in my view, completely focus on this issue. Think about it. There will probably be 4 million people, 3 to 4 million people here next week. What's going to result from that? General protest against taxes. General protest against larger issues. The Glenn Beck rally was very inspiring for me, but what happens after that? Nobody's talking about eligibility. This is not a conspiracy. This is a problem. But look around you, everybody, the military, the judges, your representatives, your senators, sometimes your family. How are we going to deal with this? There is no time now, I think, to disagree or to say you've got to take this route and so forth. We can easily criticize all of our efforts, but each one of us has a part now, and we can't let any of us really slip through the cracks here. So I'm going to bring on a couple of folks who have their hands up. Area 623, I've got you live here. Hi, 623.
Hi, Dr. Kate, it's Kim.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Kim from Arizona.
I want to apologize first. I just came into your show about 10 minutes ago because I've been out at Bible study, so I'll catch it on the replay. But I'm very interested in tonight's topic. I'm very interested in what you guys are doing out there. And I want to just kind of focus on a couple things real quick. I want to take a lot of your time. The first thing I want to say is that as far as the eligibility issue goes for me personally, what's been the problem for me throughout the entire time is that as a country, we haven't been allowed by the powers that be to have an intellectual discussion on this topic. You know, I would be perfectly happy if as a country we could just discuss the topic openly and intellectually, and whatever the outcome is, it is. But the irritating point is that we haven't been able to do that. In fact, every effort to do that's been thwarted. So that's the first point I want to make. The broader, more important point I want to make is that I do think we should take something from the rally last week. And for everyone's efforts, that we should just remember one key principle, and that is we were put on this earth to do good. Okay? And so supporting Colonel Lincoln or Lieutenant Lincoln, that's a good act, okay? But everything you guys do in the next week, all the challenges you face, I hope throughout that entire process, you'll all keep in your minds, I'm here to do good.
Yes, thank you. You know, for our listeners out there, Tim Kaufman has written a book called Natural Born Citizen and the 2008 Election. It's something that's very important to take a look at. And let me say, you know, why do you think we haven't been allowed to have this discussion?
Because I just went in near my radio, so you might be getting feedback. That to me it'd take us forever to discuss that. In a nutshell, I think we have an elitist, corrupt government. I think that we all have to understand, to some extent, they are a reflection of us in the society. So as much as we disdain what they do, we have to understand as a society that we've created them because they represent our society. But I just believe that when you have the elite, first of all, half of them probably aren't smart enough to understand that we should even have an intellectual discussion on this. The other half, I believe, don't think the country can handle an intellectual discussion on it. And again, I think the answer is just we could spend hours on it. But it is a driving force for me that irritates me to no end that we can't just talk about it.
Yeah, I think that in part it's been, you know, the acceleration or the launching of the birth certificate. And, you know, the left's approach to that has been to ridicule and so forth. But also, I think that not being able to back up the need for a birth certificate with, for example, dual citizenship or, for example, some other pieces, I think that's part of the problem. Let me also say that I agree with you on the need to do good. It's like prayer without works is just prayer. The works follow it. And for all of our efforts here, it was very interesting. There was no anger, protest, yelling and screaming. This was very much an effort to reach out, to find out where people are in this discussion. Some are completely not approachable, and others are, as you know. So let me ask you, what more things, how do you think we could engage this discussion?
Well, I think the best way to engage the discussion is kind of close to what you,
right?
Well, it's kind of close to what you wrote on your, the little bumper sticker you had on your blog the other day. You know, I think it's really important to simplify it. And I would just ask, like, as I understand it, you're going to go through the halls of Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I would just ask the simple question, can you please explain to me how a British citizen at birth can be a United States natural-born citizen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just keep it that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met with my congressman locally, I didn't get to meet with him, but his basically deputy chief or whatever, his main guy at his office, that was the question I asked him. And his answer was, I don't know. So trust me, these people understand what's going on. But I think when you break it down to that question, which many have asked in various blogs, that's really the best way to approach the question. It's simple, and it asks for a direct answer.
Yes, and it doesn't raise the birth certificate, basically, which is, you know, the issue that has caused everybody to just go wild, even though right now I feel we need the birth certificate to prove that he has any American in him at all. And I don't think he has a birth certificate. But those simple questions, that's why, you know, I'm sort of kicking myself, but the whole other aspect of asking about dual citizenship, what you just said right now, explain to me how a British citizen could be president of the United States. This is the thing that we have found. Break it down. Make it simple. Don't come in with a big, huge legal argument. Move forward. So that is very helpful, Kim. Any other advice you can offer us?
Well, you know, just to go back to the good, and when I was on your show several months ago, we talked about that too a little bit. We touched on a personal responsibility and acting in the good. I want to bring out, which I think is going to be actually the next Patriot paper I write, but in the Declaration when it says you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it's really important for us to understand what that pursuit of happiness means. It doesn't just mean that you get to go live a utilitarian lifestyle where you try to have more good than bad in your life. The happiness that's in there, in my opinion, Jefferson was writing about Aristotle's happiness. And there's really no way to translate it from Greek. He was Greek, right? To English. But Aristotle's happiness is a way of being. And that way of being includes acting morally, living a moral life, fulfilling your complete potential. That's what his happiness means. That's what I believe Jefferson meant in the Declaration of Independence, that each individual has a right to fulfill their full potential, and doing so includes living a moral life. And I think we're seeing the effects in America of the secularization of the society and a complete lack of personal accountability.
That's, there you go. That's correct. That's correct. I agree with that. So Kim, again, for our listeners and readers, Kim has written more Patriot Papers than I have, but we supposedly have a collaborative project on Patriot Papers, but I like that idea that you're working on. And by the way, may I ask you, how are the other Patriot Papers going and being received?
Well, I don't think anybody's reading. I always say I write my blog for about 10 people, most of them friends. But I don't really concern myself that much with that because I really view my blog more as like a political diary. So it's just the easiest place for me to share my thoughts. But I want them to be recorded because I want to know 20 years from now what I thought at the time.
Well, you know, Kim, this is just an extraordinary time, and I want to thank you for writing the books that you did, but also this issue of discussion is extremely important, because if the country wants to modify the Constitution to allow this, let's go for it, but we can't even get there because of the shrillness on all sides, and because, in my view, at least on the left and those who are defenders of Obama, do have a plan in mind, and they do not want this information to get out. What worries me, Kim, is the corruption is so deep, and the prayers are essential, and the works are essential. And I think, as other friends have said, you know, you need to have 100% faith in God, even in the face of death, because honestly, it is time. Tenacity just wrote in the chat room, you know, the tree of liberty needs to be watered by the blood of tyrants and patriots every now and then. And that's what's going to happen. When you think about what's happening here, you think about the halls of Congress and the Supreme Court, they will not deal with this until it is brought to their doorstep. So I am hopeful that there will be a miracle. But I suspect that it's going to be time for another revolution. And even though we have the tools to avoid that, I'm not sure what we have left in terms of flexibility to try to move, because there's just people who are so non-responsive to constitutional ways of changing things.
Can I interject one more point?
Please.
Okay. I think we've gone through a phase in the last 2 years of education, okay? And what you guys are doing in Washington, D.C. in the next week is part of that education process, okay? And that is to, you know, show the opposing side, show, you know, why we believe what we believe, try to educate, try to enlighten people. But I think as soon as this is done, this next week in Washington culminating in 9/12, that we need to pivot. And I've been thinking this for a while, but I think this is a really good time to pivot right after 9/12. And what I believe that pivot needs to be is we need to go from the divisiveness that I'm not even going to call it the left anymore, because there's so many people out there who are from the left who are part of this movement. So I'm going to call the divisiveness of the elite or the political structure or whatever it is, the media, everybody who plays in divisiveness, we have to pivot from that and we have to turn to the positive message. And that's what we need to do for the next 2 years.
And what is that positive message?
That positive message is, instead of, here's a good example of it. A Republican sits up there and the Democrat says, or Obama says, I'm not cutting taxes for the rich. I will let the Bush tax cuts expire. The rich are evil. They have to pay more. And the Republican says, no, we won't let the taxes be cut. Or we will cut the taxes because the rich produce jobs. Instead of all that, the message should be, we are a limited government. We should not be taxed as human beings to this extent. It takes away from our elite freedoms and liberties. The whole thing should just be the positive message of constitutional governance.
That's a good point. That is a good point. So, and do you think that, well, that's going to take the effort of many, and this is where, you know, you always worry about after the 9/12, is that everyone dissipates. So what is the next pivot? And you're right. The response is limited government and so forth. And what I am hopeful about is that the consciousness of people has raised so much in the last 2 years that this might work. Do you see or have any suggestions? Do we need to write the next Patriot paper on this? How is it that we pivot? How can we turn those 4 million people who are going to show up?
I think we have to drive home the message, which I really think was the message of Glenn Beck's rally, the overall message. And that is, in our own lives, we have to lead by example. And that should be just second nature to us as believers in limited government and individual liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But with that comes the responsibility to every day in your own life to be pursuing goodness. And I think Alveda King's message said it pretty well. She was, instead of like faith, hope, and charity, she had love in there somewhere in place of one of them. I think it might have been in place of hope. And that's what we have to do. We have to love in every action we're doing every day, even when we're disputing what we would traditionally call an opponent. We need to do that through love, through a positive message. And we need to have enough of us who are doing that for it to make a difference. And we have to understand it could take decades.
Yep. Yep, that's correct. That's correct. Well, Kim, this has just been very enlightening. I thank you. It's so nice to hear you again as well. And I think
well, thanks for letting me break into your show.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, listen to the podcast. I've got probably another report that I'll put up tonight. And, again, thank you for joining us this evening. And God bless you. And talk with you soon.
Okay. God bless you and your efforts in D.C.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Well, folks, we're coming to the end of our show, and I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. I'm going to be putting up another post tonight. We've got another long day tomorrow, and we plan to do some work. I myself believe I'm going to join Pastor Manning on Saturday, and I think that I will also be joining Pam Geller in New York. You know, you can't drive from the West over here for just a couple of days and go from there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, and apologize for the technical difficulties. But there you go. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Feathers. told.